Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with skin diseases approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. I'm sure many of you have been waiting and expecting an update on our garden at this point of the year, right? Yeah. Some of you may remember my excitement in the spring talking about getting our garden going. Onions, tomatoes, carrots, strawberries, peppers, what have you. We were, had this big plan. It was going to be glorious, and we were going to, yeah. So that didn't happen. We ended up a little bit busy with a few other things. And by the middle of the summer, this garden space that the property committee so kindly and beautifully put together for us was filled with weeds. And by that, I mean it was about 99% weeds, except for this one nice tomato plant that really just blew up that we didn't even grow. It was from somebody else that we transplanted. It looked bad. So one day while Angel was outside playing, and Paige was out there watching Angel, don't worry, I decided to go to work and just pull everything out, right? Except for the tomato plant. I left that. But I've always hated weeding, right? Because I feared that I was going to pull the wrong thing and have my mother's wrath, right? That I was going to face, you know, her wrath from pulling one of her flowers that weren't quite yet flowered. Because to me, all the weeds and the flowers just kind of looked the same. But this was different, right? Because here I could just indiscriminately pull everything. And I looked at Paige and I was like, you know, this isn't so bad when you can weed like this and don't have to differentiate between, you know, what's good and what's bad. And you could just whoosh. Anyway, I just figured I would update you all on that. So in our gospel text today, we finally have a change of scenery from Jesus speaking at dinner, right, as we've been talking the last few weeks, as our crew makes their way to Jerusalem. They see these 10 with some sort of skin disease. Some of you might be familiar with the language of leper, right? And we've come to figure out that leprosy really wasn't all that common. Leprosy is an actual skin disease that we talk about today, but leprosy wasn't really all that common during that time. Leprosy is just kind of a, as it has been translated in scripture, just kind of an umbrella term to mean any kind of skin disease. So we've started retranslating it as skin disease. Anyway, I didn't even write that down. I'm on some sort of tangents today. I am so sorry. But we know one of them is a Samaritan, and perhaps all 10 of them are. We don't really know. And I don't know if it matters all that much. because what we see is that it doesn't matter to Christ. He sees and hears the suffering of these 10, and he gives them comfort. The first action towards the men is the same indiscriminate kind of care that Jesus calls us into as we consider who belongs to the kingdom of God and who we ought to be sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with. For we know that it is through God that life comes, and it is through the word of God that one can receive this life-giving power that is for all people, regardless of where they come from. And so it's wild to me, those who are quick to decide and to pick and choose who shall receive God's fiery judgment, choosing either not to associate with certain folks or only to bring shame to them, right? Saying things such as, oh, but we don't share the good news with so-and-so because they are already damned. Now, I don't mean to stereotype here at all. It's simply my reality. But growing up in theater and music and being a music major, I have a lot of non-Christian friends and family, and I have a lot of gay friends because, you know, in the arts, you kind of end up with a lot of gay friends. And they've been told, many of them, that they are going to hell, point blank, period. That's the end of the discussion. No conversation, really. No chance for rebuttal. Yet Scripture is quite clear that judgment is not up to us, that God alone is the judge, and our role in this cosmic court system is to wait our turn in line while turning to the next fellow to tell them about this new hotshot lawyer, Jesus, who has yet to fail a single client. And if this analogy wasn't clear enough, as your mother once said, if you have nothing nice to say, shut up. If you're not going to use God's name to bless, it would be better if you were to not say anything about the holy at all. And if you are going to use God's name to curse, God bless you. And God have mercy on you. We act as if spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ is some sort of difficult thing, but folks, it's really not. Not if we view it as a garden full of one thing, weeds, perhaps. Not that I'm saying you should view one another as weeds, but I think you get what I'm saying. Because we don't have to differentiate between weeds and budding flowers. Our role is to simply go out and gather and bring the healing word of Jesus Christ to others as it has been brought to us. We don't have to be exclusive in the way we cast out seeds of compassion. From there, something miraculous might take place through the Spirit stirring within them. You see, there were 10 men that asked for Jesus' healing, and there were 10 men that received his healing. He did not ask for their qualifications. He did not ask for their origins. Doesn't ask if they were born rich or if they were a servant. And frankly, it doesn't matter because with their skin diseases, nobody was associating with them anyway, and they wouldn't have been allowed in the temple. Making it odd then that Jesus sends them to the priest right afterwards. Regardless, Jesus heals all 10 of them without needing to know anything more then they needed healing. And through this, their lives are forever changed. But one of them is changed beyond that which is skin deep through transformative faith. His faith did not heal him, I want to be clear. All of them were healed regardless of faith. But what his faith did was make him well. It's interesting language in the original Greek. It's more akin to this idea that his faith has saved him, but not in the sense that he now has keys to the kingdom of God that he can now enter, in the sense that his life has been transformed by the Christ in a way that this man is now living a different life. Because the Hebrew idea of salvation in life is more than just this morbid idea of salvation from death, but it's recognizing and fully realizing the power of God in this life that turns one's actions towards God. He's been made well. He's been saved because of the life of faith that is now ahead of him. And this is no small thing for any person, especially for a Samaritan man who's not allowed to worship in the temple to begin with. Not even considering his skin disease. Now, given his skin disease, it makes it even more miraculous. Because that makes him a foreigner, not just a foreigner, but he was an outsider among foreigners that were not welcome in the temple any way you look at it. This man, this poor, poor man, how much quicker may he have found healing if he were not treated as a weed for who knows how long before finally coming to Jesus? Because the risk for the Samaritan man to come to the church was great. He was told that he did not belong in this place and that he would not find healing here. And yet he comes to Jesus. He was not allowed to, but he does it anyway. And Jesus heals him. He goes to the priest and he comes back and he gives thanks, all because Jesus looked past what was on the surface and showed him compassion. How many people today, much like the Samaritan, have been told that they are no longer welcome when Jesus is instead telling them that they have been healed? How many times has the church told the Samaritan that they do not belong? In the form of LGBTQ folks that are told that their love cannot be reconciled with God's love. In the form of divorcees being told that they are now part of a broken whole. Those suffering with substance abuse being shamed rather than finding a place of rescue within the church. Or those who have been abused time after time by church leaders being told that that's just their place within the church. The church is finding out that the more that it excludes those whom it deems imperfect, the emptier it will continue to become. But the early church grew because it was made up of people that were perfectly broken as they were, and Jesus's message filled in the cracks. People find faith in God because they are empowered by one who meets them where they are in Christ Jesus. People are lifted up by this message because they are told that through Jesus Christ, they are enough. That this life, don't know if you realize it or not, it kind of sucks sometimes. People kind of suck sometimes. I kind of suck sometimes. But Jesus sees something worth saving in it all. Jesus sees something worth saving in you. There's enough pain and suffering. We know this. That we manage to inflict upon ourselves without needing to inflict it upon others. But us who already have hope in Jesus Christ, we can lean on that. Us who have found salvation in this life through a love so profound, we can lean on that. Us who have been claimed as we are in all of our suckiness have been claimed by Christ, and we can lean on that. Because that, beloved in Christ, is the healing message that all have been claimed through the cross of Christ, now and forever. Amen.